textbooks tend to ignore the iron range completely. I recently got a brand new textbook from a well-known historian, and he never mentions the Mesabi Iron Range. Yet he's got pages on the steel industry. I don't know what they were making steel out of. and he spends a lot of time on mining, but it's gold, coal, silver, copper. I get this really, really important one. Quartz.
Quartz.
But never mentions iron. So it bothers me that it's not in the story anymore. And it occurred to me as I was looking at the story of industrialization in the United States, there are approximately 9 factors that were present at the time that the Industrial Revolution began. And if you took any one of them out, it would have affected the way the revolution occurred. But the most important one was steel. The development of the steel industry made it possible to urbanize and to build up. The cities in like New York and Chicago went up. They didn't sprawl outwards. They went upwards. And you couldn't do that without steel. So, and the Transcontinental Railroad system, and you could name hundreds of other things. All the factories that were built all had steel in them. The River Rouge plant that Henry Ford built to make Model Ts was a steel structure. and, of course, all of the automobiles and the huge train engines that were built all depended on steel. Well, think about what the Iron Range, what would have happened to the industrial process in this country if the Mesabi Iron Range in particular had not been found. We could not have become the industrial powerhouse we became without the Mesabi Iron Range in particular.
Or we would have had to import a lot of ore too, and that maybe relying on countries that weren't reliable like we do for oil.
And it would have made it impossible for us to be the arsenal of the world or of the Allies in World War II. We would have had to import iron, and during a war, it would have been much more dangerous to be importing massive quantities of iron. Mm. The Germans would have immediately targeted iron ore production and shipping. So the fact that the Mesabi Iron Range existed was pivotal to what the United States became. And so if you think about what the United States would have been without it, it would have been a vastly different nation. New York would never have become the world's financial capital, more than likely. Uh-huh. And many other large cities would have remained, I think, relatively small, just simply because there would have been no way to build up. And so we might have remained more of an agrarian society rather than an industrial society. But even the agricultural revolution in the United States was driven by steel. The steel breaking plow was necessary in order to open the Great Plains. And then as the demand for wheat and other products accelerated, there was farm machinery that was largely made out of steel. So there, again, you get back to the whole idea of what would have happened to the United States if the Mesabi Iron Range had never been found.
So, Pam, why do you think historians overlook the range so much?
I have not been able to figure that out. It wasn't always that way. I've got two examples. One was a quote from a review of the book Seven Iron Men, where it put the review writer placed the Iron Range in its national context very clearly as pivotal to what we became. And then I have an ad from the Great Northern Railroad in World War II. Aaron Brown actually had it and sent it to me. The ad was touting the pivotal role that the Iron Range played in World War II. It said, more valuable than gold. What we produced here was more valuable than gold. And I remember being taught about the Iron Ranges in school, and I'm not sure it had disappeared from the textbooks even in the 1960s. But something has happened in this story, and it's just disappeared. And it's one of the sad stories because, you know, they write about new immigrants in New York City and in other big urban centers, but this was one of the most ethnically diverse places in the entire country. In 1910, New York had a foreign-born population of about 40%. That would have been considered one of the probably the most diverse place in America, but it would have been wrong. We had a foreign-born population in 1910 of 50%. And the ethnic diversity here was as broad as anything you would have seen in New York City. I don't understand it. It's just a mystery to me how our major story has disappeared from the history books. It's puzzling to me on an intellectual level. It bothers me as a historian of the Iron Range. Yeah. It enrages me.
Wow. Well, we're speaking with Pam Brunfeld. Pam's a history instructor at Vermilion Community College, and she is a local historian. She'll be doing a program tomorrow at Valentini Supper Club in Chisholm at noon on what would U.S. history be like if the Iron Range weren't there. Pam, is the concentration of ore in this particular part of North America, is this an unusually high concentration of iron ore compared to other places?
Oh, yes. Although they found some large deposits elsewhere in the world now, which is why our domestic production is down. At the time that we were the pivot on which the steel industry rotated, there was no other deposit like what was found on the Mesabi. Here are just a couple of interesting statistics. Throughout the 20th century, the Mesabi Iron Range produced between 50 and 58% of all iron ore in the United States. In total, iron ore production in the United States through 1977 was 5.4 billion tons. Of that, the Mesabi produced over 3 billion tons of that. The Mesabi produced 70% of all the iron ore shipped from the Lake Superior Mining District. The Mesabi provided 93% of the total ore shipped from Minnesota. And in World War II, although I'm still trying to find all of the figures, the total production during World War II was over 318 million tons of iron ore. Mm. Now, the significance of that, of course, is that there's a one-to-one ratio of iron to steel. So if we shipped 318 million tons of iron ore, that would have translated into 318 million tons of steel.
Hmm.
Okay. It's a direct one-to-one ratio. So just imagine it, between 1940 and 1944, we produced on the Iron Range, but Mesabi in particular, 318 million, no, actually, that's all three ranges, 318 million tons of ore in that short period of time.
I'm still trying to mull over this question of why the Iron Range is overlooked so much. I wonder if it's just because we're in a remote rural area and the population is relatively sparse, and it's for that reason alone it might be overlooked.
Yeah, and perhaps it's because gold and silver mining is more sexy.
True.
I don't know. The gold and silver mining was done in very remote areas, and maybe that was it. No, but Minnesota doesn't sound remote. And so maybe many historians find the frontier ethos of Colorado and California and Alaska much more interesting than the frontier ethos of Minnesota. But we were just as wild. We were just as much of an industrial frontier as any of those other places in the country, in some ways more so. We were also much more urban than they were. Many of those places remained very rural, did not become industrial frontiers. We were an urban industrial core in a rural landscape.
That is really interesting to me. And, you know, a lot of people ask me when they come up here to visit, or what's different about the Iron Range from the rest of rural northern Minnesota? And maybe you've put your finger on it. It's a rural industrial area. That may be one kind
of... But with an urban outlook. Urban part of that is really, really important. If you think of the area between Grand Rapids and Babbitt as one continuous city, and each of the towns along that as an urban neighborhood, it's much easier to understand the Iron Range.
So what do you mean by an urban outlook?
Well, urban neighborhoods, ethnic neighborhoods, urban sensibilities in terms of culture and the arts. Vida Zupancic, who does the Northern Lights Music Festival, has commented over and over again how cosmopolitan the area always was. It was always very cultured in terms of music and art. And other core urban sensibilities, these ethnic neighborhoods, these ethnic traditions. You don't find that in other rural areas to the degree that you find it here. It is, because of its industrial infrastructure, it developed a different mindset than a rural agricultural area has. It's hard for people to grasp that, I think, that this is not a typical rural area at all. And once you begin to think about how different the Iron Range is and how much more similar the Iron Range is to Duluth or to the Twin Cities in terms of the way it looks at the world, then it makes a lot more sense. It's less politically conservative in terms of the economic issues. It votes much more like a big urban city than it does a rural area, for example, out in western Minnesota. So the interests of the people, the citizenry, is oriented much more towards industrial economics rather than urban economics than it is to rural economics. It's a very interesting aspect of the range, that we are really much more like an urban city than we are a rural town.